Mike, you may be seated. I'm sure we're all happy to be back here in the house of the Lord tonight to worship Him and to hear the word of the Lord. Many people ponder why it is that if Brother Branham had this great ministry, and as we mentioned last night, how great it was, how come more people don't know about it? Well, let me tell you why. The world had ample opportunity to know why or who Brother Branham was. Remember that the organized churches turned him down. They literally kicked him out. Then when the Pentecostals took him, because he believed in a doctrine which was different from theirs, they boycotted him. Now you'll recall that Brother Branham had a vision. It was a composite vision, as far as I know, but it was. And he had, first of all, a vision of going into a place like Mexico, and he saw little poor children carting along a little wagon, homemade. And then he saw this vast area where people had been gathered to hear the word of the Lord, but they had been dismissed by the preachers. And then when they said, well, it's all right, Brother Branham, we've taken up the offering. He said, since when did the offering come above the altar call? He said, we're here to win souls. They said, that's all right. It's all right. Don't worry. We took the offering. Everything's fine. And they're dismissed. And then the angel of God said, when Brother Branham complained, when all the people were gone, he said, was not our Lord left with only 12? In other words, what are you beefing about? If God himself only had 12, you ought to be lucky to have one. Now, this is what happened. The preachers boycotted William Branham. That's exactly why he did not have any notoriety of any merit in the land. Now, let me prove it to you. Right today, there is no church that is not affected by the charismatic movement. Right? Right. Now, had they accepted William Branham, there would have been no church that was not affected by his ministry. They turned down the true to take the false anointing. Now, you do what you want with what I said, but this is, I know God's truth, and I'm telling you why the man is not known. Because many people complain about it. They say, well, if he's such a great man, how come our church didn't know? And all I've got to say is, do they know about the charismatic movement? Do they know about the thousands and thousands of Pentecostal Catholics? Do they know about the thousands and thousands of people that understand or are interested in and conforming to the so-called charismatic movement? And they know about it. They know from the crown heads of their dignitaries that they have spoken concerning this and has been known for years. Now they have gone to the anointing where they're off the word and they have turned aside the truth. Now this is exactly why the churches don't know about William Branham, but they know about the rest, and they're going to keep on knowing till they breathe the line. Now, I just thought I'd bring it out to you because I realize that you're going to have that problem to show others why it is that their ministers don't know about it. It's been brought to my attention and said, well, one man said, my dad said, if this man was such a great man, how come my church doesn't know about it? Well, his church was the very one that blasphemed the Holy Ghost. That's right, his dad's church was the very one. See? No, brother, sister, always remember this, that the ministries of God are in the minority. The true move of God in a people is always a minority. If you doubt it, then tell me why the Roman Catholic Church never came to Christ under Luther. So why didn't they repent? He said, I gave her space to repent, and she wouldn't do it. And she's never repented and never will. Right today, you can pick up articles in leading magazines where the so-called Roman Catholic theologians, and I'm not against the people, just against the system, they have had the nerve to say, you Protestants, you make us angry. You were the ones that killed the Catholics. We never killed the Protestants. Well, I can prove it to you. I had the article in my hand by a Roman Catholic Texas theologian. Well, anything can come out of Texas, I guess. So, Lord have mercy, like Brother Branham said. Not just trying to be facetious, but that's the point. It has been known that the Northern Baptists have said for years that the Southern Baptists would go Roman Catholic. How come the Southern Baptists, which took their stand for so many years as being full of grace, are so ecumenical minded as pitiful? Nothing against the Baptists, even themselves, wonderful people. What is their system? It's their theologians. They're being led down the drain. It's the organized ecclesiastics that's done it. The Nicolaitan system. See? But then don't get too hepped up on the Nicolaitan system. Remember, at the end time, there's also the Laodicean system, which is the people in anarchy. This is the age when the people want to hear what they want to hear. And if they can't get the preacher to preach what they want to hear, they'll bust with him. And if it hasn't happened in Macon, it'll happen. It's happened, so forget it. Every place you are, the people want to have the itchy ear. Not the preacher got the itchy ear. He's got the itchy mouth and the itchy palm. The people got the itchy ear. He got an itchy palm and an itchy mouth, so he'll say what they want him to say in order to get a buck. Sure, let's go to the Bible. Stick with the Word of God. Don't try to make some little rosy spectacle dream out of it. Face reality. See? Now, here's what it is. There always has been a minority. There always will be a minority. There's one thing about it. If this message had gone to the majority, I would have rejected it. The majority has never been right. The majority will never be right. Now, you know that's true because the children of the desolate are far more numerous than the children of that which has a husband. Hagar's group will always outshine. For numbers the bride. See, so we know where we stand. We're a little group. We may be frowned upon. That's all right. Of course, we ain't seen nothing yet. Right now, we just bear a little bit of stigma that we follow a man or worship a man. Well, that's fine by me. People just don't understand. It's the same people talk about how great Paul was. And, oh, we follow Paul. And then Paul said, we follow Peter. And we follow Apollos. And they said, we follow Moses. And when Jesus came by, they said, we follow Moses. They rejected Jesus. And then when the Holy Ghost came, in the outpouring, they said, well, we follow Jesus. What's this Holy Ghost business? You know, you couldn't pay people to believe the truth. They got to have a revelation being seen. I had a good buddy of mine. He said he tried to build the Sunday school and bring a contest to a head by getting a lot of folk in. He went out in the street and here was a couple of grimy little kids going down to the store to get some groceries for their mother. And he said, hey, would you like to earn a quarter? And they said, yeah. He said, sit in Sunday school. He gave them a quarter each. He said, now, you might get a bunch of little kids in, pay them, you know, get them a few quarters to come in, but it just doesn't work that way in the bride. They're elected. They come in by the grace of God. Well, praise the Lord. Want to thank for offering. The Lord bless you for it. I didn't expect it, but that's just nice of the Lord to do things like that. You know, oftentimes don't expect something, and here God does a nice thing for you. Just thought of coming down for a meeting with all the brethren, and I had really expected someone else would take at least one service in between to give me a little time off, but just have fellowship, and that's what I'm having, regardless, and it's always plus. You know, the Lord always gives the plus balance. So we thank Him, may the Lord bless you for it. Now, I want to continue tonight from last night on adoption or the placing of sons and just see what else the Scripture brings out on this subject so that we might know where we are and what is about to happen, this great thing that's coming into the church. Now, before we do so, let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you now, O God, to conform every spirit to the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Lord, I know that we live in difficult days, and some of us here are quite old, and we're getting older, and some are quite young, and we're all at different levels and places in a way because of our education, our background, and all of these things. But Lord, we know there's one thing that any man can do if he wants to do it, and that's to become simple-minded enough to be taught, to just listen without argument or any reason, just listen and to see what's being said, to see where it goes. Not to lift any criticism within the mind, but just see if these things could be. Help each one of us tonight, Lord, to be that way. To just look at the Word of God and see if it isn't so. Is there something there? Is there something we're missing? Is there light that can be shed upon our pathway? Now, Father, we know it takes your Spirit to do it, and we're praying for the anointing of the Spirit to come forth amongst us and give us a revelation of the Word, that we might know the things which are truly ours from God. And then, Lord, may they not only be known to us, but may they be real meat to us and ingested by the Spirit of God into our lives until this very Word will shine forth as we believe it can and will in the last days. Now, Father, we're not asking anything beyond your Word. We're asking, Lord, according to your Word tonight. And because it's according to your Word, we know you've got to hear us. And then we know that you're going to give us the petition we desired. So, Lord God, we submit ourselves to you now, and praying, therefore, in faith and believing that every word, Lord, will have your blessing upon it, because it is your Word and not ours, but coming from you. And then, Lord, it'll be delivered in the proper spirit, which is of grace and love, O God, and we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, reading from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, just one verse at this time, 15 verse. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, in the first message on this subject, which was last night, we showed from the prophet's teaching that there would be a Word-identified bride who would be able to manifest the very life of Christ at the end time. Quoting Brother Branham, there'll be a power come into the church, and now is coming in, that the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people, plural, so that they'll, plural, speak the Word, and it, the Word, will create itself like that or identical to what was spoken. You see, when God said, let there be light, suddenly something didn't say, I think I'll have a little fun. Let it be dark. No. Light. See? Therefore, the Word which will be in the bride will be a literal manifestation into creation of that same Word by the Spirit that lies in the Word. There will be literal creation. Now, that's what the prophet said. You agree with that? He said it? All right, fine. We believe it. Now, notice the language of the prophet. He said, now, N-O-W, at this moment, is coming into the church. That means only one thing. The potential is already in the bride of this hour, and it, the potential, will produce the manifestation in her of creation by spoken word. God is going to refill the bride with the Spirit. Exactly what we know. Then see what happens. Brother Branham said, we've got a ministry. We've got a ministry coming that's just exactly like the life of Christ. Now that's what we told us, and that's what we believe. I was preaching one time in Chicago, a couple years ago or three, when Dr. Hoyer, who in my estimation is the greatest authority in the Hebrew and Greek living today, because he can speak it with the exact emphasis, the exact facial expressions, and the exact demonstration by the hand. He's a very brilliant scholar. At the end of the service, he said, Brother Bale, I trust you will not think me to be a fanatic, but I'd like to say something. And he sounded so apologetic, I wondered what in the world he's going to say. Now he said, please, he said, do not take this bad, he said. I said, what is it, Brother Hoyer? And he said, Brother Bale, from the study of the Word of God, I believe the bride will have the creative Word within her before she goes in that rapture. I said, Brother, that's exactly what a vindicated prophet said by thus saith the Lord. Here is a brilliant theologian who knows exactly the hour of the day. And if you heard him and you could meet him and talk to him, you would know that this is a giant intellect anointed by the Holy Ghost who has studied the Word of God until that's all he knows and all he's lived. You mention a scripture, he'll quote in the Hebrew, the Greek, and then he'll raise his eyebrows, his face will change, an expression will come upon him, and there he'll literally preach in that language and tell you everything it means. And he said, Brother Baylor, I know that it's coming. That same man sat in the audience one night, and he came in late with his wife, and I thought, oh, horrors, I'm preaching on the serpent seed. I wonder what he's going to think. And I couldn't change my subject because it was too late. I was launched into it. I couldn't draw back, so I boldly plowed down that line. He'd look at his wife. And she'd look at him. He'd look at his wife. And look back. And suddenly at the end of the meeting, he went out. Next day, we were at supper together, and he said, "Brother Bale," he said, "you preached a strange sermon last night. My wife and me, we go home. We lie in bed and we talk. And I talk and she talk. And you know what? You are right." Listen, that's coming from a mental giant. Now, I'm not here to eulogize a man because he's got a great mental capacity. But let me tell you one thing about this, brother, sister. Neither do you find that God led his children by an idiot. God never put a premium upon ignorance. God never has put a premium on ignorance. Neither does he put a premium upon education as though this were the anointing. But I am so happy when I see a man of our day that is really a great student of the Word of God and is so versatile in the languages of the Scripture, who can stand up and know that William Branham was that man sent from God. See, not eulogizing any man now. Don't mistake me. Not for 1 minute. But thinking in that term. So we see, according to the Word of God given to us by vindicated prophets, that the creative Word will be in the very bride at the end time. Now this great capstone ministry of the bride is called the manifestation of the sons of God, or the adoption or placing of the sons, and to me, and I emphasize to me, it is also the manifestation of what Brother Branham called the third pull in the bride. Up until 1963, Brother Branham talked much of this manifestation. But after 62 and 3, he spoke of the pull of the various pulls, and he said there'd be a third pull in the bride which would come into manifestation. Now, we have no details concerning it, but remember, it will be the creative Word within that bride. Now, let us just think of the potential or the prime cause of this great manifestation. It is already in the bride, but it is evidently subdued. Now, it's in there, but subdued. See? Now, I'm not a very strong man. You know, I used to exercise as a kid, and the best I could do is build up tough muscles, but never big muscles. I'm just kind of puny Pete, so to speak. And not like Brother Harnett here, with his great muscles, or Ned. But, you know, I want to say this, you see. Supposing I had great strength in my arm. Now, this great strength could lie there, and I might have the physical power to crush a man's jaw. But letting that power lie dormant, see, does not annul that the power is there. So it is that the lack of the manifestation does not annul the power. The power is there, but the manifestation is not here because it is not yet time for it. Now, this is what you must understand. See, the bride is not without the prime cause or the cause to bring about the effect. It is just that God is not ready to produce the effect. See? Now, it is not time to show it forth. Notice our text, the 15th verse. "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have already received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, our Father." We already have the spirit of adoption. The first age, the second age, the third age, the fourth age, the fifth age, and the sixth age, every member in the body of Christ has already, whether they've gone to the dust or not, they have already received the potential, but not the manifestation. Now, notice, verses 19 to 23. "For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the unveiling of the sons of God. For creation was made subject to vanity not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope." because creation itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory. We haven't come to that yet. We haven't come to that glory. Every age people gloried in God. Every age they were happy. But brother, sister, we have not yet attained to the glory which shall be ours. There is coming a glory, as many people have said, concerning the latter house. I don't care how wonderful the glory of the former house was. And I don't care how sick at this moment the glory of the latter house looks. God's word has said the glory of the latter shall eclipse the former. Amen. Now you can't fuss with God. Hear amen. You believe him. You believe him. Yes, sir. Now, we're reading a little further. The glory, the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know, there's no doubt about this knowledge you can see in every hand. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together to now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which already have the spirit of adoption, the spirit of the resurrection, that which will make us like unto Christ, even to the very members in which we dwell. It says we're groaning, and we have the first fruit. Even we ourselves, groaning in ourselves, we are waiting for the adoption, even though you've got the very spirit of it. And say, well, haven't I got it all? Don't I possess it all? My brother, my sister, you and I may possess everything from God in potential, but into manifestation, we do not yet possess it. See, I'm so sorry for those who believe and have said, listen, I'll take this whole Bible, and this whole Bible is mine. You are wrong. Only the part of the Word, what's in here is yours. It's which is yours for your day. As Brother Branham put it so beautifully, Moses could not come preaching Noah's message. He couldn't do it. And Christ could not come preaching Moses' message. The law was until John. See? Now we look forward to grace. They look forward to grace and truth in Jesus Christ. And there is a word for this day. And the word for this day is the revelation of the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, if we're not aware of the hour in which we live, then we cannot say we've got the Holy Ghost, because he is given to teach us those things which are given us of God. Oh, how blind the church is today that calls itself filled with the Holy Ghost. Ah, I believe what Billy Graham said. That's a great man. He said, I believe if the Holy Ghost were taken out of the world, the church would go on doing 90% of what it's doing now and not even know he's missing. I'm kind of quoting that sort of liberally, maybe not verbatim, but I got the idea of it. And I agree with it. Now, we are waiting for the adoption. And this tells us when it will take place. It takes place in resurrection season. Now, when is resurrection season? Now, you all know that because you all know your Bibles. It's over here in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. Paul says in the 15th verse, for if the casting away of Israel be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of Israel but life from the dead? Now, remember, Israel's not dead. She's blinded. So therefore, if we are going to have something received from the dead, that's resurrection. So Israel is blinded until resurrection season. Now, when does God turn to Israel? When she's back in the homeland. Is Israel back in the homeland? Then it's resurrection season. Then if it's resurrection season, it's adoption season. See, now the resurrection hasn't taken place, neither has adoption. But they're both going to take place. Why? Because it's the season. See? Now is that time, as Brother Branham said. Thus we have a very clear picture before us. At least it's clear to me. It is the body of Christ coming up through the ages from the feet to the head. Now I want you to get the picture now. Don't deal with this subject in the sense of the individual. No, leave that alone. We are dealing with the subject in the sense of the church, of the many members. So it's the church coming up from the feet to the very head. But watch, not one church age division of this body remains on earth while the other parts are formed. In other words, the whole body is never on earth in their mortal members at one time. Now watch my word. The whole body of Christ is never on earth at one time in a mortal, M-O-R-T-A-L form. In the immortal form they'll be on earth at one time, but never in the mortal form. One portion of that body goes off the earth the first church age. The next portion comes on. And then the next church comes on. This is what we understand as the pyramid. Because remember, Christ is not only a cornerstone, He is a capstone. And the capstone is to the building which is the bride. Now what's a capstone? Got to go on a pyramid, brother, sister. No place else. Because a capstone is the final block put on to cap it. That's a pyramid. So, layer by layer, in seven church ages, the church is coming up to the capstone itself. Until it fits so perfect. In the last age, the seventh is literally identified with Christ Himself. Now as a bride, see, a company, see, in the church, the true church, Paul saw this as many members. In the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Paul said, bespeaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now what are the all things? Paul said the Spirit of God was given us to teach us the all things, the revelation. We are coming up into the very Word itself. And then, brother, sister, can't you see? If we're coming up into the very Word itself, then creation must lie in the bride. See? Now, let's not get foreign thoughts on this subject. We're dealing with reality, brother, sister. That's what the book of Revelation teaches. Reality, I am the way, the truth, and reality, is the definition of that which is truly real. See? Going back to the eternal things. Now, Paul says, going on, from whom, notice, that head, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Now, every part's got its own measure, and every part is one of the church ages, because the entire bride, the Gentile bride, is made up of the seven church ages. No more, no less. That's what you got here. Now, remember, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, and he's teaching the Gentiles. God turned to Israel. I think 15th chapter back somewhere there, but the fourth verse, I can't remember quite now what it is. Now, notice, he said, speaking the truth in love. There is no way to go up into Christ except by the truth. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Now, you notice the words here of Peter, agreeing with Paul. He doesn't say, now that you've been born, get born again, although that's true. He's saying, now that you've been born, be born again, but watch how you're born again. Do not be born again of corruptible seed, but be born again of the incorruptible. That's why there's a church that's born of the creed and the dogma. You'll imitate everything the child of God got, but you'll never stay with the Word. I don't want to sound rough and mean up here, brother, sister. I don't want to put emphasis by shouting that said last night, I'm sorry I ever got into that rut. But may God help us to understand this is thus saith the Lord, not Lee Dale talking to you. That's the Bible, thus saith the Lord, not Brother Branham's or anybody else's now as a prophet. That's Peter. He said, be born again, but be careful how you get that way. You say, how can a man be born again? Oh, brother, sister, it's time you realize you can be born of anything in this world. You can get born again. You can be born again into a Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, or a Church of Christ, a Church of God, a Pentecost, or anything else. But to be born of the Word of the living God, that's the only way you'll be a part of this membership of Jesus Christ, because it's speaking the truth in love. It's the love of God shed abroad and by the elected fivefold ministry that takes that word out to feed the flock that they in turn feed the people. Taking that word out, see? Now, he said, from whom the whole body, that's from the Christ himself, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. Joined and compacted. The solidarity of which there can be none lost whatsoever, it comes from him. But it's coming from the feet first, and with every joint supplying, according to effectual measure. What is the effective measure? The Word of God is the only effectual thing in this world we've got, because all things were made by it, and all things are maintained by it. Like the Bible says, so there's nothing made that wasn't made by the Word of God. And the book of John tells us, and then Paul comes along and says, everything is maintained by it. Colossians, the first chapter. I think about verse 21, somewhere in there. Now, he said here, it makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now listen, what is it? Speaking the truth in love, that same word, the same measure, in every age will bring the bride right to the stone, the headstone Christ. And it'll make itself effectively, it'll bring itself effectively to that very position. Now what's doing it? It's the Word that's doing it. See? We are a Word bride. Now, I say the whole body is coming up. Every single one of the first six church ages had the potential of adoption through the Spirit of adoption. But only the seventh church age has the potential plus the manifestation. See, this is what I see when Brother Branham taught us concerning the Lutherans. Now, there again, don't misunderstand, think I'm showing off on somebody. When the Lutherans came to Brother Branham, back in about 1900 and, oh, I forget what it was, 50-some, they said, Brother Branham, do we have the Holy Ghost? And he said, potentially, you Lutherans have the Holy Ghost. Now, what did he mean? Did he mean for 1 minute that Luther didn't have the Holy Ghost? Luther himself had the Holy Ghost. The Lutheran people themselves had the Holy Ghost when they were born again. See? As the same as the Wesleyans. But the church itself did not have the Holy Spirit which would bring them into the manifestation because the age was not yet. See? The age was not yet. As God was bringing that word up, see? Line by line. Bringing the church up because it's got to come by the word. You understand that, see? That's your pyramid. God bringing that word up, building his church up, doing it by the Holy Ghost, see? Bringing us all the way to the top. Now watch carefully here, because he's doing this not in the church which has gone down. The life was moving on. The man goes, but the spirit stays. Christ's spirit doesn't leave the earth because the man died. The church building up. Now here's what I'm trying to show you. This is a mortal church that we're talking about. Then, this makes me understand that the manifestation of sons of God will come before the resurrection. See, we're not dealing with the church that's gone on. We're dealing with the church that's coming up. And the church coming up is mortal because in each stage it's a mortal church that has the Spirit of God that is looking forward to the adoption. See? Now, we're coming to that headstone. Now, this is the age, the same age that Brother Branham said where God restores. The age of adoption is the age of restoration. Listen to what he said. It's uniting time. God getting her ready. That's the bride. Yes, sir, uniting. What's she uniting with? With the word, for heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Now then, if the bride is a word-united bride, how can she pass away? You say, but Brother Bale, they were all united words. But they were united word where it says, behold, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That word did not apply to the first church age.
that word did not apply to the second eight, or the third, or the fourth, or the fifth, or the sixth. It can only apply in the seventh. Now, they had the full potential for a resurrection back there in age number one, but they couldn't get it. Why? Because the body was not filled. Christ could not bring forth a deformed bride. He could only bring forth a perfect bride. As I told you last night, me always trying to win at the agricultural fair a prize on my freak carrots and my freak rutabagas. They were too big, or they had something funny about them. And I thought, boy, that ought to get a prize. That's the way the church is. The church has got an idea. If you do something for God, not according to His Word, you're still fine. You're wrong. Any service done outside the Word of God will fail. My brother, my sister, let me tell you out of my heart, the most miserable failures of my life were those failures wherein I thought I was pleasing God by putting men forward. I put men forward in America here. I put them forward overseas. I did my best. And it seemed like God was blessing me. Every one of those men has turned on me to blaspheme the name of the Lord, to run down this message and say the most rottenest, calumnious things I have ever heard and written about anybody said about me. Now, what did I do wrong? A man's gift shall make room for him. You don't put anybody forward. You let God put him forward by His gift. It's time we woke up and stopped being children. You do not serve God 1 minute unless you're in this Word. You say, I'm doing it. I say, check your heart and see if you are. You say, Brother Bale, at that rate, then you're going to cut down a lot of service. Well, let me tell you this, brother, sister. If I worked for a man for 6 years and then came and said, like, or 7 years, like old Jacob, and said, I want my wife, and he palmed off something else on me, something was sure wrong. And I don't want to stand at the judgment having thought I served God and found that it didn't. So I've just stopped putting men forward. I used to go home at night and almost cry, saying, why doesn't Brother Branham put me forward? You know why? He was a prophet, knew the Bible, and I didn't. You don't need anybody to put you forward. You ministers, if you've got something from God, your gift will make room for you. If you're a pastor, you're ordained to be a pastor. You'll be a success. Don't worry about it. Just fill the place God gave you. If you're an evangelist, go ahead and do the ministry God gave you. You don't worry about it. If you're a teacher, prophet, whatever it is, your ministry makes full proof for you. See? You don't need a man to put you forward one little time. And you don't need any man to scare you and try to put you back either. Stand there. Clothed with your armor is the office that God gave you. It's your office that gives you this, brother, sister. You were born to it. See? Oh, what a tragedy. Now listen. Brother Branham said here, she's uniting herself with the Word, regardless of what any denomination or anybody else says. She's uniting herself. She's getting herself ready. Why? She's the bride. Well, certainly. You didn't see. You say, I'm going to marry that girl. What's she doing? Oh, I think she's slopping out there with the hogs in the backyard. Well, isn't she getting ready? I want her to take a bath and put those clothes on. How's the bride going to get ready to meet Jesus, not having been washed in the waters of separation by the Word? Having that character to stand still to hear the message. Too full of creeds and dogmas. Now listen, women, I'm going to tell you something. Your own nature is such a thing that you never leave your father and mother, but you should. Now, the Bible said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, but didn't say the woman would. She always wants to run home. See? She's too much around mummy and poppy. And the woman in the church is still doing it. She's running back to the old harlot. She's running back to mama. That's your nature, and that's your woman's nature. You know it. You got a soft heart for mama. And you know how it is when mom and papa have a tough, where do they usually go? They end up with daughter. Poor old son-in-law gets it. Now you sons-in-law, if you're bucket, shame on you, because that's a woman's nature. But remember, you women, God also said one thing, that you're joined to your husband, and you should seek to please him. And he's supposed to seek to please you too. That's why he left mom and papa. Now you've got some leaving to do too. Don't let your nature miss you up. Now, Miss Church, I'm saying the same thing tonight to you. You better leave Mama. And stop being one of her daughters. See? Now, she's the bride. And the bride will get herself ready. She won't be out there stopping with the hogs. No, sirree. She's got the kind of character that will listen to the message. She'll stand there while she's washed in the waters of separation by the Word. shall hear that message. Because every single church age has that word, he that heareth. See, if you're in the bride, you've got an ear, you're going to hear what the messenger said. Now, she's united herself with the bridegroom, and the bridegroom is the word. Let me ask you a question. Why did Luther leave the Roman Catholic Church? Was it because the Roman Catholic Church did not have the word? The Roman Catholic Church had the word. But they turned it down. And they turned down the revelation of the hour. Let me ask you, why was it that Wesley pulled out of the Lutherans? Because the Lutherans got off that word. Why did Pentecost pull out of the Wesleyans? Because the Wesleyans got out of the word. Now there's got to be a bride at the end time pull out of the whole bunch. On one reason, that's the word. And on no other reason whatsoever. Yeah, but you say, Brother Bill, there's other great things. There are no other great things. Either it comes out of the word or it's dead. Amen. If your character, if your ministry, if your gifts are not fully word vindicated and indicated, you are wrong and I am wrong. There has to be one ultimate. There has to be one authority. And that authority is the word. See? Now, she's uniting herself. And the church and the bride and the word is becoming so one until the very word itself is working out of the works, is working out the works of the bridegroom. See, moving up. Why? It's uniting time. It wasn't before. Not before it wasn't uniting time. No, sir. It was merely the body coming together and coming together. Though the first age died and the second age died, they're coming together. A little overlap here, a little overlap there. Coming together, up, 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 up. Until the day when God said, I'm going to restore. Now reformation sets in. More reformation. Now the end time. We're coming right to the very headstone. And brother, sister, it's got to be so absolutely perfect, the end time age, the capstone will fit right on it. It never fit the first age. No, sir, the first age died, I'll prove it to you. It never fit the second age. Too broad across here, too wide here, but coming up, 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 the sixth age, narrowing, 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 until now, the very headstone Christ is coming into full manifestation. Now remember, we're talking about the body. We're not talking about something else. We're talking about a church. See? Now, spoken words, original seed. These last days, true bride come to the headstone. Will be a super church. Now listen, it doesn't say the resurrection church. It says the last. What's the last? Seven church age. Come to headstone. Will be a super church. A super race. As they near the great headstone. He hasn't even come yet. In physical flesh. They will be so much like him, they'll be in his very image. In order to be united with him. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the Word of the Living God. Isn't that marvelous? You know, tonight that sounds kind of flat but good. Just hold it until it comes to life. A lot of the Word of God's very flat. It's supposed to be until the Spirit of God hits it. And watch. You see, Brother Branham said, the 4-H Club or somebody got together and they promoted an experiment. And they made some corn. They made that corn identical to the grain of true corn. And you could look at it, and even a chicken maybe couldn't tell the part. Go gobble, 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 eat the wrong corn, the good corn. There's only one way you can tell which is real corn. Plant it. Throw the water on it. See where the life is. See? Now, let's go further. They will be the very manifestation of the Word living God. See, come to life. The Word come to life in the bride. Denominations can never produce this. Now, either he had thus saith the Lord and you believe it or you don't. So, well, I got some good buddies there. Well, that's fine. I got no problem with my friends. They can be anywhere they want. Because I believe this message doesn't make me hate people. Doesn't make me fight people. No. I feel sorry for them, but I'm not going to get all fussed up around them. You say, why do you preach the way you do there, Brother Bill? Because I teach, and I want to nail it down to you in case your faith ever wavers. You can come back to the tapes or a message and say, I remember hearing that thing. That was right. just to help your faith, that's all. Listen, they will love him and have his potential, for he is their head. And they are his subjects, subject to the head. Headship of Christ was his. Nothing can harm her, not even death. Sure, we're not going to die. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here is the secret. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what Christ wants done with the word, and she does it in his name. She has thus saith the Lord by reason of that. Then it is germatized. So the Holy Spirit waters it until it's grown and serves its purpose. They only do his will. No one can persuade them different. They have thus saith the Lord, they keep still. That is, they have the word and know exactly what to do with it, or they don't do it. Here I'm spending my time and my money to promote men to turn on the word of God, to live in adultery. That's what that nun man did. Built people left and right. Now where's my time and effort gone? You just can't tell me what hallelujah the Lord overlooks at glory to God because I was so sweet-spirited. No. God doesn't do foolish things. We do. And we can open our mouths and make big mistakes. And God said, you should have shut your mouth. You should have watched what you were doing. I'm holding you accountable. Sure thing. You don't give Godspeed to a man that's wrong. Is that Bible? Then don't do it. You say, how am I going to know? Quit being so busy, little busy bee. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord will use their strength, and they that don't will dissipate it. Now, there's only one way you can wait on the Lord, and that's get with his word. To a brother, Dale, I'm going to hide myself and pray. You just cut your throat right there. You can't pray without the word. Your prayer doesn't mean that. It's only the word God's going to say. I know that sounds strange, but I don't care. A lot of things sound strange that are true. Truth is stranger than fiction. Always has been. You think that's not true? How about John the Baptist, full of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb? Figure that one out. Well, go ahead, figure it. Where's that in the Bible? Where can you find one place where there'd be a man full of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb? But it happened. And then people fuss about a man ordained to God to have thus saith the Lord, and they say, turn him down. What's the matter with you people? Tell me why John the Baptist broke. I challenge you. I'd even go out of church order and let a woman dance with me tonight on that one. I know she can't get out of order because she can't tell me. Challenge any theologian living. Put your finger on it if you can't do it. I can put my finger on it and tell you why. The Lord God in heaven, as old heathen Nebuchadnezzar said, he doeth whatever he will, and the armies, heaven and the earth, and no one can stop him. Hallelujah! Glory to God! I'm going to get re-revived in a minute. There's one subject I like, that's grace and sovereignty. See? Now listen. No one can persuade them different. They have thus saith the Lord, they keep still. Then they do the works of God. For it is himself in them continuing his word to fulfill, as he did not complete all when he was here, for the time was not yet. Now, how many can swallow that one? Not choke on it. He said, oh, Brother Bale, when he died upon Calvary, he said, it's finished. What was finished? What was finished? This is not finished. That was finished. The prophet's right. You know he's right. How many things did Jesus come to do? He was anointed to preach the gospel, to announce the acceptable year of the Lord, right? To proclaim it. To announce the day of the judgment, the vengeance of our God, and to comfort those who mourn. Tell me when he did the other two things. He only did one as far as I know. Yet he came to do three. When's he going to make the announcement of the judgment? When's he going to comfort those that mourn? You see, I believe that's being done every day. I don't. Only limited sense. If it was done, the first was done in a pointed sense, then the other two must follow. Christ did not do all that he was supposed to do. Nor did he do all, for he left some for us to do. But he was going to do it in us. So all was not done in the days of his flesh, but will be done in the days of the bride's flesh. Now, you can see from this that at the seventh church age, the bride manifests the very fullness of the head, which is Christ. In Ephesians, the first chapter, 22-23. And put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Now, when he's going to fill all and in all, that's the bride. But it goes beyond that too, but I'm limiting just the bride for the time being. All right, now watch. If he gave him to be all things to the church, and put all things under him, and the church is his body, there's something's got to be fulfilled yet. There's got to be a resurrection. There's got to be a manifestation of God's word in the bride. There's got to be a resurrection power come in her. And it will come in her because that's the word of the Lord. Now, this fullness, let's speak about it a bit. Paul mentioning, as I read last night in Ephesians, the first chapter, how that he hath predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And then Paul says, I want to catch this verse down here, that we, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first, not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth, not sixth, not seventh, but first. So there's a first, there's got to be a second, and there's got to be a third. There's only one place you can quit, and that's seven. Because pheasant and completion. Now, Paul said we first trusted in him. They were the first ones. See? Now, with that, we go to Ephesians, the third chapter, 9 and 10. To make all see, all men see, what is the fellowship of the mystery, which have from the beginning of the world been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now, under the principality of powers, in heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now it says right here that there's going to be a manifestation of the wisdom of God. What's that wisdom? He tells us back in Ephesians, the first chapter, where God in all prudence and all wisdom, by predestinating a bride who at the end time would be manifested to the world. Now she's going to be manifested. Now, I'm just going over this very rapidly. 18 and 19. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. That's never happened yet. How can it? How could it happen? Because this was not allotted to one age. There is no one age that's gone by that has ever had this. They haven't had the fullness. And to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The church has never been filled with the fullness of God. It couldn't be. Because the bride hasn't been made up. See? The fullness has not yet come. Now, Revelation, the 10th chapter. And verse 7. In the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be filled. You say, Brother Bale, the Bible says finished. Well, sure, it's finished because it's filled. It's filled because it's finished. There isn't any more to the body. When the last member comes in, it's over. Then, if Christ has been pouring himself into the church for seven church ages, then he finishes pouring himself in the seventh, and then Christ is completely poured into the seventh. Now what's poured into the seventh? That which matches the headstone. Amen. The mind of Christ and the bride, to know what he wants done with the word and does it. The very effective creative power of Christ is in her. Amen. That brother, sister, is evident. See? It's evident. See? Scripture shows us how true it is. Now, herein we can see that Christ did not pour himself into the church, but rather he has been continually pouring himself into the church. And in the last days, it's completely full. See? And remember, brother, sister, at the last age, it's narrowed to the very headstone. There's nothing but headstone at the last age to the bride. Oh, my God, can we see it? It's Christ himself identified in the bride. The bride bringing forth Christ into manifestation. I know it's beyond our thinking, but brother, sister, it's going to arrive. I never knew the day would come when William Branham would stand before and say, I challenge you, bring me 24 of your worst cases, I guarantee healing. I can't even get 3 billion people in the world to guarantee my little piddly hangnail I want healed. Oh, Brother Dale, if you believe, look, honey, I've done that for years. I've even gone further, discerning everything else to help people's faith. But nobody can guarantee. How could anybody guarantee one hair of your head? The Bible says so. Yet here's a man that can stand up, thus saith the Lord, Jehovah God, who was Jesus Christ manifested, and said, I challenge you, bring me your worst case in Texas here, and I'll guarantee healing. And they brought a little Spanish girl who looked like a so crippled, she looked like a bowl of cold cooked spaghetti. Right. For 2 hours, they sang choruses. Suddenly, like that, she was off his knees, perfectly whole. Challenge you, show me somebody. Oh, that's the devil, brother, there. God backing up the dead? If God backs the devil, then you and I are out of luck. Because we're just wishy-washy lukewarm. We're trying to miss the devil and get to God. Now he backs the devil. Let's go all home and get drunk. I'm not facetious. I mean it, because we've got to get rid of our minds somehow. We're in a mess. How can the thoughts of man be so foolish? I don't understand. Brother, sister, I was shook from stem to stern when that man did that. I was shaken out of my lethargy. I was condemned and convicted. I was in the presence of God, not the man, but the Holy Ghost. See? Christ completely poured into the church in the seventh branch of the lamp. See? No more to pour in. Why? Because the church is his fullness. Is that right? Was Jesus Christ the fullness of God bodily? Then there's a many-membered Christ. See? There'll be a complete pouring in. Now, this is when resurrection power hits the bride. Ephesians, the first chapter. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Notice word. See? The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints, and listen, the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who do now believe, not who have believed and died. But those who now believe. Right, see? According to the working mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principality and power, giving him authority, so it is when resurrection power hits the church, she is manifested, she is adopted, she is unveiled, the third pull is in her, and the authority of God is in her. Why? Because she is identified with the Word. See? It's coming. If I miss it, somebody's going to get it. I'm not trying to put a corner and say, bless God, we got it, nobody else. I don't know who's going to be in it. I'm not fussing about it. If I'm bright and I die, I'm just as secure as anybody standing here at this last minute. No problem, brother, sister. You've got that spirit option. You're perfectly fine. Yes, sir. But if you're here at that last day, there's a special designation. See? At the end time. That cornerstone. That capstone, rather. Now, notice. He is, this will be a complete manifestation of himself in the bride. He is obligated to do this because he never did appear amongst the Gentiles. He never did. And watch now, the days of the Son of Man are to repeat, not under the Jews, but under the Gentiles. Because Jesus said the days of the Son of Man in Luke 17, 26-30 would repeat days of Noah and days of Abraham, and they were not Israel. They're Gentiles. That's right. So therefore, the days of the Son of Man, the very ministry of Jesus Christ, returns to this earth. Now remember, there is only one period of the people smitten blind through messengers. Sodom. Now, Laodicea. Blind Laodicea. Who smites them blind? Brother and sister, blind leaders of the blind both fall in the ditch. When they turn down the vindicated prophet, there's only one way to go. Back to the creeds and dogmas and back to the charnel dungeon of death. See? Now, only the utter blindness of Laodicea, which belongs to the Gentiles, could produce this age. We saw the ministry of Christ return to the earth by the prophet. What will it now be in the bride? It will be an absolute confirmation of the word that he brought. Because remember, he said in spoken words, original seed, which I read to you, he said this was a prophecy that God gave him, and he had to write it. Write the word. That's scripture, right? Write the word, engrave it. Now, seeing this subject so far, that there is a manifestation of the very life and works of Christ in the bride. Let's go back to our text and further study it. All right. Verse 15, Romans 8. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, Paul, in teaching on this subject, does it through the negative approach or by comparison in the negative. He said, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Now, he said in plain English, you have not received a spirit of slavery. See? You've been delivered from it. Now you've got the spirit of the liberty of the children of God. Now, what is this spirit of slavery that they were delivered from? Galatians. Remember, Galatians is also written to us, and Paul was the apostle of Gentiles, so this is to us Gentiles. Now, the fourth chapter, verses 19 to 28. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Evidently, he hadn't been formed. I desire to be present with you and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? What are you hearing tonight? See? Now, he said, don't you hear the law? So I said, what are you hearing? Creeds and dogmas? Some catechism, some confession of faith, what are you listening to? See? Now look, everything comes out of something. Nothing happens just that doesn't happen. In God's 6 days of creation, that to be light, dry land appear, fishes, birds, animals, man, so on. Doesn't happen. Everything now comes from the original Genesis. We are in an evolution moving up or we in our some sort of moving down. It's ascension or descension. Come on now. I know what I'm talking about. Evil men shall wax worse and worse. This will get worse and worse. That will get worse and worse. But this is going to get better and better. See, we're moving. What are you listening to? What did you come out of? Now, you that desire to hear the law, you that want to go back to what you came out of, what did you come out of? Catholicism. You didn't, brother. You're wrong. You did. I've got a little thing at home by Time Magazine, I think, that shows every single bunch that came out of the Roman Catholics. We all came out of it. And when Brother Branham had the vision of God, he said, I saw the woman that was my mother, though she wasn't my mother. And I saw the man that was my father, yet it wasn't my father. What was he? An eagle amongst the chickens. Now, it is written concerning this. Abraham had two sons. One by a bondmaid, other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. Corruptible seed. Was he born? You bet he was. Now we're talking about churches. And you didn't get born in the church, you get reborn. Nobody gets born in church. Well, Brother Dale, my mother rushed me to church and we had the baby right in the aisle. I was born in church. Well, bully for you. You misunderstand me. You don't get born in church, you get reborn. This is an allegory, an extended parable bringing out a lesson. Now, the bondwoman was born out of the flesh, but he of the free woman by the promise, which is what? Word. Both born. Which things are an allegory, for these are true covenants. Show me where God ever gave Ishmael a covenant of the New Jerusalem, and I'll eat it. He gave him a worldly covenant of blessing physically, where he'd rise up and defy the true members of Christ, and he's still doing it. Is that right? Well, come on. Now, I'm not teaching babies. You've been in this message too many years now, there's nothing to talk about. Which things are an allegory? These are two covenants. One from Mount Sinai. Thunder, lightnings, judgment, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar, which is slavery, which you have come out of, and God has not given you a Hagar spirit and an Ishmael spirit. Little Hagar wanting the indulgence of her Lord, bringing forth an Ishmael. Don't belong there. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, which answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in slavery with her children. See? But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is our mother. Wrong translation. King James says, all mother of us all. That's wrong. New Jerusalem is not the mother of us all, only the bride. Therefore it's written, rejoice the barren that beareth not, break forth and cry that travaileth not, for the desolate hath many more children than she would hath a husband. Old Hagar's got millions, 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 millions more than the wife of the husband. Now we brethren, as Isaac, what are the children of the Word? Promise. But then if he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. It'll be with the bride. When the squeeze comes down by the ecumenical council, it'll do its best to destroy it. Or you say that little insignificant bunch who wants to bother. Bleh. Then what about little insignificant Meshach and Abednego, the three Hebrew children? Why don't you just go bleh about those things and say, oh, forget them? Yeah? Why do they try to exterminate Daniel? Oh, he's just nothing. He's one. Don't you believe it? As long as there's one bride, there'll be the whole force of hell trying to destroy that one. And bring her into captivity, put her to shame, mock her, disgrace her, and take her from God. Brother, sister, don't you believe other than the Bible. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Great tribulation. Where do you want to go? You say, Brother Bill, I'm going to miss the tribulation. How are you going to miss it? Being a son of the harlot system. Now listen, no system is any system outside of a document called creeds and dogmas and church order. What is your Holy Roman Catholic Church based upon? This and 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 this is all enough. What about Pentecostal? This and this and this and this is written now. And you're going to hear get your head chopped off, defrocked, derobed, kicked out. I'm not going to have you. What about Presbyterian Baptist Methodist? This and this and this, same thing. Let them bring it to life. You say, oh, Brother Bill, then you bring the light. It already was done brought to life by the prophet. I'm only to believe it. I don't produce the word, I receive it. Paul said, what came the word of God? Unto you only, or did it come out of you? Don't tell me to produce anything. You got it all mixed up, honey. You got that same spirit of course of Dana Byron on you. You're going to produce it if I can. Go ahead, be my guest. I know it sounds tough and mean, but I got to preach this way because this is the word of God. And I'm not going to pull my punches because I'm not mean. I'm just laying down the line. You say, oh, Brother Bill, then why don't you try to hold people back? I don't try to hold anybody back or push anybody forward. My job is just one thing. Teach that word and do my best to live it. To deliver out of my heart and love what I know God did. It's up to the people. Because if I try to persuade you, that won't do any good. Paul said, do I now persuade men? God forbid. My job is to believe what God's messengers bring. See? Now, let's go further. Slaves to the dead manna of a church system. That's right. Can the creeds and dogmas come to effect? See? Can't do it. They won't bring eternal life. Paul said, you don't have that spirit on you. In other words, as much as we identify or anybody identifies with religion and God through Jesus Christ, there is a group that identifies with the word proving who she is. The word test. Now let's keep reading. Let's go over here to 2 Corinthians to get our picture. 6th chapter, 14-15. Speaking. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What are those two words there? Righteousness and unrighteous. It's how you worship God according to the word, whether it's by revelation or your own idea. I know you didn't get it. I'll come back sometime and preach on righteousness and unrighteousness. It'll take me about 2 hours. You'll see the picture. But just believe me. And what communion has light with darkness? What concord of Christ with Belial? What part of he that believeth an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them, and they'll be my people, and I'll be their God. Therefore come out from them, and be a separate, and don't touch the unclean thing. Don't fool with the church system. Come out of them. See? Don't be yoked with them. See? Don't get linked with them. Why? Because, watch this yoking. The yoking is over here, I think, in Galatians 5. We'll get the whole picture in a second. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, wherein Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of slavery. Don't get back in your old church system, your old creeds and dogmas, your old dead manna. See? bondage to a wrong spirit. Don't be entangled, snared. Now watch. Behold, I say, Paul say, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now listen, what was circumcision? It was the sign in the sun. S-O-N. Now he said that was the evidence in those days. Don't go back to your old dead evidence. The old word that's gone and the life has moved on. Don't go back to the system out of which you came out, because every one of us has come out of something. See? Don't go back. Stay clear of it. Don't go back to your old evidence, your dead manna. See? The entanglement. Once, brother, sister, circumcision was the evidence. Once it was the law. Once the word was in that church. Once the word was in the next church. Once the word was in the original Roman Catholic Church, and they baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they died. You show me one church that hasn't died. See? Don't go back to the old system, to what was Jerusalem. This Hagar, this bondage on earth. Oh, she's got her children. Oh, she's got millions. She's a workhorse. Brother, she'll produce like you couldn't believe could be produced. And you'll stand there and say, oh my God, why am I producing? You're producing. Don't get tempted. Oh, listen, you preachers. I know how it is. I've preached for years myself. And oh, how it seems if we could do some little mechanical thing, it'll be so nice. So we go down and we buy a new typewriter and we suddenly feel anointed. We got a nice new typewriter to pick on, and it's going to make a better sermon. Hogwash. Now what preacher hasn't been through with that jazz? Come on, be honest, you guys. You know what I'm talking about. Every one of us. There's that little funny idea in there. Just some little thing. Get to the Word, brother, sister. Nothing but the Word, and leave it to God. You don't know if you're winning a soul. The Bible said one plants and one waters, and God gives the increase. This business of thinking you're in competition, my brother, you're only in competition with the devil and yourself, nobody else. See? Oh, the old dead manna. The old bondage, the old system. Don't be entangled therein. Now let's keep reading. He said, I testify to every man that's circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen grace. For we through the Spirit, listen, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now listen, did you hear what Paul said? We by faith, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now they were already righteous with Christ by the Spirit. But they are all waiting for that day when it's manifested. We're waiting for the thing today. Brother, sister, this is the day when the bride goes right back to the Garden of Eden, where she's under that word, restored right back to Christ. That's right. This is that great day. Now listen. This covenant that God gave put us under the word. That's the true covenant of God. Now what's the covenant? It's agreement. Now God made an agreement. He said, okay, Hagar. Okay, Abraham. Fine, have the son. I'll make him great in the earth. Great prince. But no promise. No land. Out. What do you want? Said, Brother Dale, is that a promise of God? I just read it was a covenant. See, I didn't know God made that kind of covenant. You know it now. So I don't like it. I don't either. That's why I'm away from it. If you don't like it, get out of it. That's all. Well, let's be serious. I'm serious. Does it say it's two covenants? Does it? What were those covenants? I'll make 12 princes come out of him. I'll make a great name for him. But not in my land. He'll be a thorn. He'll be a troublemaker. And the Arabs right today are trying to kill Israel. And they say that. You know, it's the first, isn't it the first of January now, 70 D? Didn't he say by the end of December, though, he'd have a war going on? Well, he said something about pretty nasty. Because that's a pretty nasty situation. God said it would be. What covenant are you under today? You'll make a covenant if you're not careful. Because the Bible said they're going to demand of you the mark in the hand do the bidding and the mark in the mind to take the doctrine. There'll be a covenant. Which way are you going to go? Okay. Will it be with the Word? Here's your chance, brother, sister. We have a vindicated message. We do not speak as erring men. We do not speak as fools. We do not speak as those in darkness. We know we're in the light. Didn't Moses say, stand aside, let's see whose side God's on? We saw a vindicated prophet. You say, is he in the Bible? Deuteronomy 18. He said, when you see a man come in my name, and the thing come to pass, you hear him. Thus saith the Lord. Did it come to pass? Hear him. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. I like that. Listen. We're waiting right now for the manifestation. Now what did Paul say in 2 Corinthians? He said, I fear that the devil will trick you through the mind. Now listen. The mind is the womb. Brother Branham used some very blunt language. I'm not averse to it. When it fits the bill, the Bible fits the bill. He called it the whoring womb of the mind. Where man commits fornication and brings forth a bastard within himself. A hybrid production. A spiritual monstrosity. Under the covenant, all blessed, yea, to the rebellious also he gave gifts. Now listen to me, brother, sister, the word in the Hebrew for rebellion is the same word in the Greek that means apostate. To the apostate he gave gifts. Check it out, you'll find it's right. You that got your Greek books, go ahead. You'll find them, right? Vincent, Vine, different ones. Kittle. There's a covenant. Right. Two spirits so close. Two Jerusalem. One from above. One a promise, the Word of God. One under a physical covenant. My God help us. We won't be fooled any longer. Now, listen. They went into sin. Revelation chapter 2. Verses 3 and 5. Hear what the Word of God says. Thou hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake and hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place except thou repent. And they did not repent. He removed their candlestick. Age number 2 came on. Sin appeared. They did not repent. Death came. Age number 3. Every single church age. Until once more God has one message to Laodicea. Repent, 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 repent. What's repent? Change your mind. Get rid of your whoring mind. Amen. Bring every thought to captivity. Put your mind under that word. You haven't got thus saith the Lord. You've got nothing. I challenge you. There's nobody here got a thing to prove he's got a thing. I challenge you. If God is my judge, the best you can do is talk about it. You can't produce a thing. See, I live a good life. So what? So what? A lot of people live good lives. Christian Science, you put us to shame. So God talks to me. So what? God talks to a lot of people. I got manifestation. So what? The reprobate can have it too. A man that believes in the Holy Father and prays to the Virgin Mary has got more miracles than you can shake a stick at in some places. Talks to the dead. Where's your proof? I challenge you, haven't got. Shuffle your feet in the presence of man. He can produce more than you. You weren't meant to produce. The messenger produces. He's the first fruit. You come by faith. You stand in it. And if God, by His grace, should produce something by you, remember, don't you boast, because you don't have what's given to you. See? Don't hurt anybody's feelings to take away your faith. I'm not trying to do that. Just trying to show you something. I'm not standing anything I produce. I'm standing by faith in Him because I saw a vindicated man. And remember, it's at the end time this comes, not before. It's the seventh messenger where all the mysteries of God become fulfilled. It's in that last day of the Laodicean day when the days of Christ appear on earth. And those days cannot appear except they come by a man. God works not a wave except by a man. Revelation 10, 1-7, pillar of fire and a prophet, always was the way of God. Death started in the whole church. Death went to the seven branches. But God said, I will restore. He's going to do it. Now we're getting ready for the rapture. I ask you a question. Can you go into the millennium in the spirit of bondage? You can't do it. Did God take one slave into the promised land? Not one. Israel was no longer a slave. Now, listen. What is God doing now by His Spirit? He is pulling the people out of the slavery of organization, out of the earthly Jerusalem, spiritual Sodom, Egypt. Come out of her, my people. Revelation 17. That's who she is, come out of, the harlot. Revelation 18. 4. Come out of her, which is Revelation 17, 1, the harlot. And be not partaker of her sin. See? Now listen. If you believe Brother Branham a prophet, you can't prove he wasn't. Let me tell you what he said. When they said to him in a certain theological seminary, they said, I'm as surprised at you that you believe that the devil can't heal. And he said, I'm surprised that you, a theologian, go against the word of God that said the devil can't heal. Then he said, account for this. How can a woman that's a witch doctor bring on a healing? And he said, because they think they're approaching God, and they are approaching God through the witch doctor. And he said, the same thing they're doing now through a church system. You say, Brother Bill, that sounds awful strong. Well, baby, can't you take strong meat? Have your teeth been ground down, milk teeth so long you can't understand the Word of God? Not being mean to you, just asking you a question. Can you prove he wasn't a prophet? If you say he's not a prophet, you don't know what a prophet is. He was a prophet. He is a prophet. Those ministries don't die. When Samuel came back at the behest of Saul, he was still the prophet. Had the robes on. See? Now he said the church system, approaching unto God, and remember, rebellion is tantamount to witchcraft. So what's the difference between what Brother Brown said in the Bible? There is no difference. He says the Bible. Witchcraft, because they don't obey the Word of God. Creeds and dogmas. Rather, they're approaching God, and they are approaching God through the witch doctor. And he said the same thing they're doing now through a church system. You say, Brother Bale, that sounds awful strong. Well, baby, can't you take strong meat? Have your teeth been ground down, milk teeth so long you can't understand the Word of God? Not being mean to you, just asking you a question. Can you prove he wasn't a prophet? If you say he's not a prophet, you don't know what a prophet is. He was a prophet. He is a prophet. Old ministries don't die. When Samuel came back at the behest of Saul, he was still the prophet. Had the robes on. Okay. Now he said the church system, approaching unto God, and remember, rebellion is tantamount to witchcraft. So what's the difference between what Brother Branham said in the Bible? There is no difference. He said the Bible. Witchcraft, because they don't obey the Word of God. Creeds and dogmas, rather than the Word of Jesus Christ. Israel could not enter a slave, and neither will the bride go into the kingdom as a slave. Notice also about the promised land in this day. God called Joshua, who is a type of the Holy Spirit, to position or place the various tribes to take their inheritance that came with the promise. What did Brother Brown say about that? He said, well, here's Gad over here raising corn. Okay, Benjamin comes by, and he said, Gad, man, that's the nicest corn. I think I'll raise some. But Gad said, hold it, you're supposed to raise wheat. Isn't it strange how that the people today don't know what they're called to do? Yeah, isn't that strange? But we'll be, as our body can manifest by the action what it is, and my hand never says to my foot, oh, foot, I tell you what you do. I'm tired of being a hand. You be a hand. Now, wouldn't you look great? I can't bend my poor old crocky knees to get a spoon between my toes and feed myself, and my back can't take it. Now, wouldn't it be great for my foot to say, be a hand, and my hand would say, you have got to be sick. And the body of Christ is just that miserable today, because you've got people trying to be what they never were called for. You've got men with gift ministries invading the pulpit when a gift ministry does not constitute authority to get behind the pulpit. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It says, first of all, apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly, teachers, and equips numbering. After that, miracles. After the fivefold ministry, there are no more numbers. And you've got men all over the world with great big tent ministries. I'm not fussing at them. I'm just telling you the truth. Because I don't care what they do. It's not my business what they do. I've got to keep my own nose clean. Let them do it. They're supposed to do it. They're going to do it. And I'm not going to try to stop them. Unless God rebuke me. You show me when a gift constituted the fivefold minister. It doesn't. But they talk with authority. Which authority they don't have. Because they don't believe the Word. Now Jesus said, if I had not done the works, no other man did, they had not sinned. You show me a man that could touch William Branham. You show me all together. One person. You show me 3 billion people that could say, I guarantee healing. When you don't even dare say, I wash the hairs of my head. You don't even dare say, I'll go to town tomorrow. You don't even dare say, I'll do a certain thing. You say, if the Lord be willing. And when did the prophet say, I guarantee it? Because God was willing. And it was God that guaranteed it, not the prophet. Oh, I love that. My faith is on solid rock tonight, brother, sister. My faith is on the impregnable Word of God. My faith is on the citadel, the mountain of reality. Because it was demonstrated. The Word of God not trying to defend the Word of God. The Word of God not trying to explain the Word of God. The Word of God not trying to prove the Word of God, but the Word of God coming to life. Oh, that's beautiful. Thrills my soul. Listen, Joshua, placing the people. Minister, friends, listen to me. Why does everybody neglect the 12th chapter of the book of Romans? You say, because what? I'll tell you why, because the restoration of the Pentecostal gifts went to seed. And everybody quotes 1 Corinthians 12. Tongues, interpretation, prophecy, faith, healing, miracle, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, so on. 9 of them. What does it say here in the 12th chapter about gifts? It says prophecy. That's a gift. Prophesy. Now it says ministry. What's a ministry? Serving people. One way. A million ways. He that teacheth, teach. See? If you're a teacher, you don't need a gift of healing, per se. Pray for the sick, sure. But who said you got to have a gift? You got your gift. You are what you are. And now watch down here. He that exhorteth. Where do you find exhorters? He's not a deacon, he's not an elder, not a pastor, and the rest of it. He's an exhorter. Now watch. He that giveth with simplicity. His left hand doesn't know his right hand's doing. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy, that's a ministry. And he doesn't say, well, I'll forgive you this time. Don't do it again. He's too glad to do it. I'm glad to do it. You know, those big, big, and diamond grins. Glad to do it. I'd love those folks that showed mercy with cheerfulness. I could do it a whole lot myself. That is showing it. But I'm that kind of guy, too. I'm good, too. Sour apples. It's a ministry. Everybody doesn't have it. Yet people say, I got to have one of those nine supernaturals. You don't got it. Do I speak the tongues? No! Do I prophesy? No! Do I have a ministry of exhorting? No! Do I have a ministry of giving? No! They don't. Then don't try to make them. Sure, thank you. Let's amen the Word of God and not be ashamed or afraid of it. See? We're different. My one finger from the others. Yeah, look at this. This one's thumb is here, and this one's different from this, and this from that, and that from this. They're all different. And I don't say, well, now, finger, little old finger here. I think you'd be much better if you were here. I don't even pay any attention. That's what the bride's going to be at the end time. She won't be all wandering here and there. She'll be walking in the light as He is in the light. And the fellowship will be sweet and wonderful. See, why? Because she's come to the naturalness she's been longing for. As Paul said, though we've got it in here already in embryo, there's coming a day when it's going to come forth. This is that day. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Dale, you got it? Got the potential. Don't boast any more than that. Just got the potential. Notice. Slavery. Who gets us out of slavery? The Redeemer. Who is He? He's a kinsman. Who's the kinsman? He is Christ. Where is He? Revelation 10 and 1. The mighty messenger comes down with a pillar of fire. And what is He got? The rainbow over His head. It's time for the change, the coming of the dawn. The earth being destroyed not by water now, but by fire. Heat like brass, judgment. What comes down to earth? The pillar of fire. What screams out? The voice, Azaline, not a line. No, Leo hasn't come. He's coming. Neither has the Lamb descended. It's a pillar of fire reading the book. It's a messenger. Christ. The messenger of the pillar of fire. What's He going to do? He's going to lead us out because Moses did not lead out Israel. The pillar of fire did. Moses just walked behind the pillar of fire and he indicated and he dictated by the pillar of fire and they who followed him went on in. Two over 20 only. What does the Bible say about those that died? They enter not because of unbelief, for the word preached was not mixed with faith in them that heard it, and they died as carcasses like dung upon the sand. They were church members. Sure they were. They had gifts. Sure they did. Miriam danced, she prophesied. But she died, she never went in. Aaron never went in. Joshua and Caleb went in. Why? Because they believed the Word of God and they did not faint in the face of what they saw. They said, I believe. Now, here's where we stand. God restoring back the church that enveloped itself in death, went down to her grave like Christ did in the dark ages, having only a trickle of the oil and wine. And God said, I will restore. And with the restoration came the Word. And the Word, which was the Holy Spirit, revealed Word, now brings the first green shoot. The life goes into the next. The shoot begins to dry here because the life has gone on. Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, right to the chaff. And now within the chaff is forming the wheat. The same life all the way up the stem. But listen, it's the life at the end from the living plant that comes into the fullness of the one that died. Right? Thank God it's right. Brother, sister, listen. I do not reap my harvest until I have a harvest to reap, and the harvest is right here at the top. We shall not all sleep. There is coming in the church, according to the Word of God, there is coming in the church an absolute identification with Jesus Christ, so that as one member descendeth, many members exactly like him shall be here. Isn't that a harvest? I plant one grain a week, I get many back, just like it. This is it, what we're coming to. Life coming up in the plant. Christ the first fruit must have many like him at the end time harvest. The end time harvest is not just bringing up the dead, as I have said, but it is those living here. So God must, now listen, so therefore, God must pour into the end time bride the very resurrection dynamism. That's right. Absolutely, brother, sister. What? Listen. Remember the power of God. With a little finger, he cast out devils. With a high hand, he led them out of Egypt. But the arm of God, Christ, God revealed, made bare to bring Christ out of the ground. That same arm made bare in a bride at the end time. That's right. That's what the prophet said. I gotta believe it. Christ identified and living, because those who have gone before cannot be made perfect without us, and their guarantee of perfection is already there. Here is where we are tonight, brother, sister. This is the dispensation of adoption. The time has come. This is the age when the move is on for the bride. This is the day that Brother Branham said, I call you saints no more, I call you bride. And right now we're struggling in the seventh step of the stature of a perfect man. Not the eighth, the seventh. Let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, once more. Listen to it. Here, he gave some apostles, verse 11, some prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried out every wind of doctrine, and a sleight of men, a cunning craftiness, whereby the language to deceive. Now notice, we are to come to the perfect man. We haven't come to it yet. Okay? Church hasn't. Now, we are to come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Is that what Brother Branham said? Okay, where did he say it? In 1st and 2nd Peter. He connected this with 2nd Peter. Now let's go to it. 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 4, whereby are given exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving diligence, add to your faith virtue. 1, that's 2. Add to your virtue knowledge. 3, add to your knowledge temperance. That's 4. To temperance patience. That's 5. To patience godliness. That's 6. To Godless brotherly kindness. That's 7. Right? What's the 8th? Love. Now listen. He said this was the church in 7 steps. Not an individual now. The church. Coming through 7 church ages. Then where is the church? She is in age number 7 under brotherly kindness. What did he say about it? He said the best we can produce is brotherly kindness. He said we're jawing at each other. We're critical. We're fussing. But let one of those brothers get in trouble and we'll all rush to help him. And that's as far as we got. But there's one more to go. That's love. What is love? That's God. Now then, when the head comes down by the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Godhead is filling us, Then God Himself, love, comes in and seals every inlet to the soul, so we're absolutely walking by the Word, and we're no longer in the flesh or in the conscience of the flesh. We are absolutely in the Spirit. Then you're going to see love. What is love? Not what the world wants to see, brother, sister. No. It's acting the Word of God. Compassion was Christ going down, healing one man, leading a multitude. Love was God choosing one and leading another. But when the love of God fills that bride, which she will, and every inlet to the soul is sealed, we will be just like Abraham. Abraham, considering not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, was strong in faith, giving glory to God. See? Who, when hope was gone, hoped on in faith that he might become the father of many nations? Coming to full persuasion. Thank God the bride has been working up to these ages, especially from Luther and Wesley and Pentecost up to now, where she's coming to full assurance of faith, which is absolutely Christ in her. Brother, she'll know what she's doing, why she's doing it. You won't change her mind or tell her what to do. She won't make the mistakes I made, putting the wrong ones forward, this and that, trying to do God a service apart from His will. She won't speak unless she's got thus saith the Lord. She won't move unless she knows just where she's going. Having an all to stand, stand, she'll do it. She'll be fully girded, fully clothed inside. See? That very flesh will be turning to Word. That Word in her, the dynamism of the Holy Ghost in there, will be changing that flesh to very atom until one day the final sweep comes over her. She'll walk right into eternity. Brother, sister, it's coming. Well, we've heard a lot of fundamental doctrine how He's just going to come suddenly and that's it. I got news, He's not coming that sudden. Not coming the way people think. They've already missed His appearing. We're waiting for the coming. Now, my Bible tells me this, brother, sister, in all seriousness. I've got to tell you what the Bible says. If I wasn't serious and sober to tell you, I would be liable before God. Listen, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and if nothing appear, we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, everybody thinks you're going to get caught up to see Him. The Bible says you got to see Him first to get changed, to get caught up. What it says. Have you seen it? What kind of a God do you see? Three gods in one? You're wrong. There's one God. Amen. I see three, Brother Bill. I see two. You don't see Him as He is then. Amen. You say, I've got my God wouldn't reprobate one and elect another. Then you don't see Him. See? My God couldn't do this in my... You don't see Him. Israel didn't see Him. There He was, the very Word fulfilled. And there He was hanging upon Calvary, the Lamb of God. And they said, we're glad He's dead. Thank God He's gone. Goody, goody, we did it. The very God they worshiped. Christ has already appeared. The Word has already descended. Now they crucify Him afresh. Hebrews. Now listen, not crucify afresh. To themselves, they crucify afresh. How? The once for all message, the end time revelation. Hebrews 6, read it for yourself. Tells you that. When they have been once for all enlightened, they can taste the heavenly gift, the power of the world to come, the Holy Ghost, the good Word of God, everything. They can taste it, they can delve in it, and they'll turn down that Word. You'll never change their minds again. It's all over. That's why Brother Branham said, watch that mind. Brother, sister, listen to me. Can you bring your mind under control tonight? Have you got the ability, by the grace of God, to say, look, I don't care what anybody said or I've said. I'm going to believe what's vindicated. Now listen, you're sitting here tonight. Don't destroy your soul. Listen to me. Timothy was a great friend of Paul. He was called the son of the gospel. And I can see Timothy blazing forth the word of God. And a man says, Timothy, that was a great message. Where did you get it? I got it from Paul. You got it from Paul? You know the source? Sir, I want to tell you something. I only preach what Paul said. Everything else is wrong. You say, now, Paul, look. Look. Timothy, Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Yes. But he turned down Gamaliel. You say, Timothy's son, you don't believe that, do you? The man that nurtured him, that taught him the word, that brought him to the place he was, do you mean to tell me that he actually had to turn on Gamaliel? He said when he turned to Christ, he had to abandon everything that counted as dung. Now you say, hallelujah, brother Bell, that's great. Don't be a hypocrite now, brother sister. You never saw Paul. You don't even know one thing if he said the truth. You really don't, let's be honest. Oh, one or two things have happened. I can get healings out of witch doctor. I can phone silent unity in Kansas. And they'll produce miracles by the barrel. I can take the Alcoholics Anonymous and see an absolute reformed creature. I can even take you to the Masons. And they live blameless lives under that oath. Come on, I know what I'm talking about. I've had men tell me, so-called full of the Holy Ghost, the most outstanding lives they lived is when they took that Masonic oath and lived it. Yeah. Sure, I know what I'm talking about. Don't tell me I don't, because I know what I'm talking about. Paul said, I didn't come to men's learning with you. I came with the Word of God in demonstration of power. Brother, sister, I've seen a prophet that would stand up and say, bring me your worst case. I've seen a man who thousands of times said, thus saith the Lord, and never one came. Do you believe that word? Let's find out. Acts the 3rd chapter. And I'm going to let you go now. Acts the 3rd chapter. Paul said, that 19th verse, Peter said, repent you therefore, change your minds and turn around, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That word presence in the Greek is anything, that part of anything presented to the eye. It says when that part of God is presented to your eye, that's the time of a fresh breeze in the church. And now, what was presented to the eye? Jesus said, if I had not done the works, no other man did, they had not sinned, but now they have seen both me and my Father. They never saw God when they saw Jesus. No, they didn't. They saw man. But when they saw the results of that word, they saw God. Yeah. That's right. That's what he said. Is that right? John 15, that's what he said. And I saw God. I'm not here to sell you a bill of goods or try to convince you. Sometimes I overdo it in a way. Because I'm a little nervous, a little afraid that somebody just might walk out of the building, not having had a chance to hear or to find expressed in the most dynamic or the hardest way I can to put it to you, to show you this, brother, sister. Don't get your eyes on any man in this message. Get your eyes back on the word that a vindicated man brought. Don't look to me. I can't do a thing for you. But listen, in your own soul, it's time to take stock and say, can I really prove anything? Can I really prove it? You can do it. The Word of God, brother, sister, never meant to be proved by you. You're meant to believe it. But you're meant to believe what was given in the age in which you live. And in our age, he said, I'm going to send a prophet. The full mystery of God. I will send you Elijah to turn the hearts of the children back to the Father. Lest I come, and in my coming I smite utterly with the curse. He's coming. And except for Elijah, there wouldn't be a rapture. Because he said, I'll smite. Now, brother, sister, if Elijah's got to come before he comes, where's your Elijah? Where? Too many times I picked up that beautiful magazine out of California. Every issue is the same thing. Oh, God, send us a prophet. Oh, God, send us a prophet. The prophet went right to their home. Ate at their table. And they still scream, "Oh God, send us a prophet." He said to Brother Bill, you guys are carried away. Some of you folk even believe he's Jesus Christ. At least they saw something. How blind are you to see nothing? Who's the blindest now? Tell me. I mean it tonight. I mean it with all my heart. What does thus saith the Lord really mean? What does it really mean? And God backs him up. He said, when the thing comes to pass under thus saith the Lord, you hear him. You don't hear the thing that comes to pass. You hear him because it came to pass. Now then, if I hear him, I must be hearing God, because the prophet's got to say what God said, or he couldn't have thus saith the Lord. You say, Brother Bear, what kind of a man is that? He's the kind of a man you can trust. You can trust him. He said, Brother Bear, can I trust him? Look, what was this Bible written by? The prophet? Men? You can even trust David. But David took another man's wife. And he had 500 at home. I think I'll rip everything out David ever said. Sure took care of that. But I love Paul. But after Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13, he had a hassle. And he sat down one day over John Mark and with Barnabas. And he said, Barnabas, tut, tut, John cannot come. And Barnabas said, tut, 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 John will come. And Paul said, tut, 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 he will not come. So they had a cup of tea and went their way. They did not. They had a Donnybrook. They had a rip-snorting argument. And one walked up. Well, there goes Paul. Well, at least I've got Peter. He had the key. But Peter sat with the Jews, and he was excluding the Gentiles, turning back on the word the Holy Ghost gave him. And Paul said, who did sin, you or God? If I build again the thing which I destroyed, who is sinning? Peter sinned. Well, that goes Peter. Well, Lord, I got to hear from you in my own way. I'm listening. Lord, I'm listening. You'll hear something, but it won't be gone. Don't mean to be funny, but I got to bring the point across. That's the only way I know how to teach. Is by satire when you're not getting it. Not being critical, but I got to show you. Where's your faith in that, brother, sister? You got to believe somebody. By the foolishness of preaching, it's ordained that man gets saved. If you're far away tonight, brother, sister, from the Lamb of God, you can be saved. As foolish as I preach, it's hard to understand sometimes the things that I say. If you felt a tug of God in your heart tonight, you can be saved. You're not listening as far as Lee Dale's concerned. He doesn't mean a thing. Get him out of the picture. I've got nothing to give you. But there is a word called the Word of God. And it was vindicated in our day. It was excoriated by those that didn't like what was said. But the stone of stumbling, the rock of offense, is the Word. Don't stumble over it, brother, sister. Put your weight on it. Don't ever put its weight on you. You'll die. You put your weight on it. Can I trust it? Brother, sister, everything I've got is committed to this Word. Everything I ever thought I knew, I put to one side. I've changed my thinking. My mind has turned around. I preached in one dear brother's church, and I'm ashamed to say it in Macon, I preached it. And in those days, I was convinced the rapture was post-tribulation. Wrong as wrong could be. Took every scripture I could find, because the preponderance of what you'd look for evidence, and said, that's the way it is. But it wasn't. There was a vindicated prophet who said, you're wrong. I got to eat humble pie. But it tastes awful good. Because bread stolen may be sweet, but it goes to gravel. I certainly eat humble pie because it tastes mighty good. After I got through choking on it, the bread came down. I'm not sick of manna. I love it. Israel turned it down. They said, that's flat. Sure tastes good to me. Say, Brother Bill, then he stand and said, what about your ministry? Weren't you better off back in those days? I said, nope. I was in error. I feel like that man who said, I would sooner be a pauper in a garret, having books to read, than be in a king's palace and a king without my book. Take the whole world, but give me the word. That's right. If you've got the word, you've got it all. So don't be afraid tonight. Don't be afraid. So, well, just because you're not afraid? No. I can't prove it to you. Just go by this word. I'm not afraid. I've got no place else to go. If this isn't it, I'm finished. You say, is your commission to that point? I'm committed to that point. Are you going to make it? Sure I am. Can't help it. Why? Because I put my faith on the only vindicated word there is. Nobody else has got it. Can I be wrong? No. Can't be wrong. In thee, O God, do I trust. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, our hearts are bowed tonight, Lord, in humility, knowing that this great thing that's coming in the bride, it's going to come, Lord, into somebody. Oh, God, I think of old Balaam when Balak called him and said, come on down and curse those people. They bother me. And old Balak went down, Balaam went down and looked at the hinder parts. And it sure didn't look pretty. Anybody can look at us. We're not trying to win a beauty contest spiritually, physically, any other way. No, Lord, we might look like the off-scouring of the earth. We might look about the worst risk that anybody could take. Let the prophets come down and look at the hinder part. We still have the pillar of fire and the prophets. We still have the word of God. And we're not trusting, Lord, in ourselves, but we're trusting in thee. Oh, God, let your people tonight. And anyone, Lord, that hasn't got an understanding, I plead, O Christ, by your Spirit, knock on the heart door and open the gate of understanding to the point of looking and inquiring to see if these things be. Oh, the noble Bereans. Oh, the noble people of the Word who ponder to see if these things be. Then I think, Lord, in the day where you're coming to make up your jewel, you said there's a people who thought upon your name. And there's a people who spake one to another. And evidently what they were saying one to another pleased you because you made a record of them and said, these are my jewels. What's the end time bride talking, Lord, in this end time that makes you different from the rest? I believe it's the revelation of the prophet she's talking about. It makes her different from the rest. Father, that's my hope tonight. I trust it's the hope of the people here resting in your word. Oh God, bless each one in divine presence. And don't let one person depart here tonight, I pray, Lord Jesus. It isn't completely under the blood. It isn't, Lord God, in the center of your will. It isn't one with you. It isn't uniting itself, himself or herself, with that word. Lord, let the people know that we're not zealous for a man. We're zealous for the word that came by a man. But it's still the word of God. Even, Lord, you sent a man, Jesus. You didn't frown upon a man and said, I've got news for him. So I'm going to redeem him. And I'm going to do it all by a man. And you did it. And now, Lord, tonight you send a prophet, a man. And we know he was a fine brother. But that's what he was, a brother. But you're the Savior. And you're the Word. And though by the Spirit you gave him, he was able through revelation to bring you into manifestation to us. He's just still a man. But we're taking the manifestation and we're taking the revelation behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies, feasting on the showbread that's illumined by the light of God. Oh, it's good, Lord, tonight. It's good tonight. It brings us life. God bless each one in divine presence. While we're praying for a moment, is there someone say, Brother Dale, I'm not near to God tonight. I'm far from God. I think I've been born of a creed or a dogma. But I've never loved, respected that word. I'm just content to be a church member and drift along. But after tonight, it's not so. I want reality. I don't want to be one of those church members under Hagar. I don't want to be under that covenant. I want the Word covenant. The promise. I know you can't save me. Only Jesus, but will you pray? Just raise your hand, we'll pray for you. We're looking for souls. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Let's get under the covenant, brother, sister, imply that tonight. Remember, your first step is that change of mind. That's all you've got to do, is to say, Lord, I have taken every thought from my mind now, and from now on it's that vindicated word. That's your step. And get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and God through the Holy Ghost. Because when you've done the two things, He'll do the last one. Don't be afraid. That's God's word. Don't you worry one little bit. He'll do it. You do the first two. Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands raised tonight, Lord, of those that open their minds now to say, I've come under the Word of God. Vindicated Word. I've got only one hope now. And that's your Word revealed. Lord, open their hearts now to it. And let the Word come in. And let them be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And filled with the Holy Ghost. That they might be accepted of you as part of that bride. Oh God, help each one now in divine presence. Deal with us faithfully, Lord. Deal with us in such a way, Lord, let the sleep be moved from our eyes. Let the hunger depart from our lips. Let there be only one desire, and that's for Thee, O God. Our soul panting after Thee, O God, as the deer for the water brook. This we ask tonight, in the holy name of Jesus Christ, for His honor and glory. Amen and amen.